to prison, you're crazy.
Right.
Let me just say this. Did you think for one second that I just woke up one morning and said, Daniel, I think I'm going to go out there and live a life so I can go spend my time in prison? No. Hey, Brother Coons, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and go out there and I'm going to become a drug addict.
No.
Oh, no, my friend. One sin. One sin will take you to places you never thought. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care if you grew up in church your entire life. My children grew up in church. Brother, do you think that I think that there's no way that my children can go out there and live a life like I know they can. It is in them because of that sin nature that is in them. It is in them because that sin that is in them, that dwells in their heart, it is completely in them to live that life. And you know what? I thank God because God can deliver.
Amen.
God can save from that stuff. You go, man, are you here to teach Sunday school? Hey, I'm not good at teaching. God called me to preach.
Man, preacher.
I'm a preacher. And so therefore, I preach the word of God. I do try to learn how to just settle down. I get excited about God's word. I get excited about what he's done, and I can't keep quiet about it.
Good.
I wasn't quiet when I was out there living for the devil, I can tell you that much. Hey, I'm just saying, if you've been saved and you lived a life outside of Jesus Christ, don't let the noise bother you. You'll sit there and scream and shout about football. Hey, go Bills! But somebody gets up and preaches, and my goodness, he's so loud in church. It blows my mind. Why? It's not about the loudness of my voice. It's about what's being preached. It's about what's being preached. I hate the word of God, Nate. Well, thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 57. We're just going to spend a few minutes here on a friend of mine who is dead in heaven. He was out there. Him and his family, the Homans to the Romans. His last name was Homan. And he's off in glory now. But he used to say, Brother Dale, he says, I really tried to teach. He goes, I can't. He goes, I've been called to preach. He goes, so what I learned how to do is treach. Okay, and so that's what I do. I try to learn how to treach. Try to do some, get myself calmed down a little bit, Daniel. I get excited about God. I get excited about what Jesus Christ has done. There's nothing not to be excited about. When Jesus Christ steps into your life, look, there's hard times, there's trials that come, but there's nothing, there's nothing on this planet more exciting than Jesus Christ. There's nothing more exciting to know where you have come from and to where you are today because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of what I've done, because if it was about me, guess where I'd be? I'd still be in jail and prison. I'd still be either dead on my way to hell. I'd still be out there a gang member. I'd still be out there on drugs, but because of Jesus Christ stepping into my life, you know what had to happen, Nate? I had to finally say, I'm done.
Amen.
I'm done. For 4 years, I sat in a pew saying, God, I'm seeking you. And God looked at me and he laughed. He goes, your seeking is a joke. You know why, Chelsea? Because I was in the way. My seeking became a religion. And if it didn't become a religion to me, it made me very bitter and angry. Until I finally came. You go ahead and look in your Bible. That King James Bible is what I'm talking about. You go ahead and look in that Bible. And when a person came to the end of themselves, when they stopped reaching for every single thing on the planet, when they stopped reaching in their own religiousness, God reached down and saved that person.
Amen.
The problem is we got people caught up in a religion of seeking. 4 years. You were what, 4.5 years, Amy? Well, anyway, that's a reality. The reality why people aren't saved today. If I was to take a toll, you know, I go into the jails and the prisons and I go, hey, man, what is salvation? What is Bible salvation? Brother Coons, do you know people can't even tell me what Bible salvation is? You know what I hear? I hear somebody repeating a commentary. You can take those commentaries and put them in a burn pile and light them up. That's what I feel about a commentary. Nate, who do you think taught me that Bible? You think a commentary taught me a Bible? Oh, no. The Holy Ghost of God taught me that Bible. You know, he says, I give you an unction. You'll know all things. How? From the Holy Ghost of God. You sit down with the Holy Ghost at that table, and he'll teach you those things. How much Greek and Hebrew you think I have to use? Why would I go back to the language that God took it out of? God took that Bible from Greek, he took it from Hebrew, he took it from the Aramaic, and he put it in the English language. I don't have to go back to Greek and Hebrew to understand this Bible. God gave it to me exactly the way he wants it. If he wanted me to know those languages, he would have left it in that language. But he did not. But yet we have everybody going back to it. How is a simple convict like me ever going to understand something like that? I'm not, because God never expected me to. He expected me to know the words of this King James Bible, and that is it. Nothing more, nothing less. Let me just say this. Nothing. There is not a book written out there that convinced me that that's the Word of God. You know what convinced me that's the Word of God, Daniel? Not what's written about it, but what's written in it.
Right.
Amen.
What's written in it.
Amen.
Not what's written about it. My pastor has written some good books. I think I maybe read just a few pages of it. Why is he wrong in it? No, I don't want a book to tell me what God wants me to know. I don't need a book to tell me what God wants me to know. I need the Holy Ghost of God to get on and say, here, Dale, but here's the problem. People are getting in their own way. They're getting in their own way. Man, shut that stuff up. Get rid of it. Get back to the Bible. I'm going to tell you what. It'll make an impact on somebody's life.
Amen.
Well, Isaiah chapter 57. Look at what it says. I'm going to get to the message here in a second. God just had to put that on my heart, and I don't know why, but thank God for it. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 10, look what it says. It says, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. What he's saying here is that you're trying too much on your own. That you, in your greatness of your own way, you still think that there is something inside of you that you can help yourself get to God. And is it getting weary? Is it? Yes or no? Is it getting weary, Nate? Why? Because it's in your own way. You're in your own way. He says this. He says, thou art wearied in the greatness of thine way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. You still think there's hope in what you do. You still think there's hope in everything that you're doing to try to get to God. There's no hope in what you're going to do to get to God. He's already there waiting. He says, you believe. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, do all your works. Do this and do that. Say this, pray 10 times, read that many chapters. He didn't say do all that. He said, believe. Why? Because he is the word of life. What you're holding in your hand is the word of life. But you know what, Dan? People are still walking around with their own hope in their own hands. They think it's going to be something that they do to get saved. And it's wearing them out. Look, I'll just say, it'll wear you out. It'll drive you crazy. You'll think you're losing your mind. You'll think, man, I'm losing my mind in this thing. You know what he says? He says, you're wearied in the greatness of your way. And those things that you're trying and those things you're doing, it's driving you crazy. It's driving you to the edge. You're getting bitter at God for something he didn't do. You're getting angry at God for something he never intended. But in the greatness of your way, you still don't look at yourself and say, there's no hope inside of me. You're still trying to get to God your way. Hey, let me just say this. God doesn't compromise on his way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way.
Right.
Singular. There is no other way. It's his way or no way. Brother Coos, do you know how many people are going to die and go to hell from a church pew?
Right.
Because they're still trying to do it in their way.
Yep.
You know I'm right, brother. It's a sad fact. That Jesus Christ calls that out. He says, there's going to be many in that day that say unto me, Lord, Lord.
Yep.
And at the end he says, depart from me that work iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means? There's something inside their heart that they're still working, knowing it's against God, but yet they're still doing it. And they're going to bust hell wide open calling themselves a Christian. There's going to be more people, unfortunately, Chelsea, who call themselves a Christian in hell than there ever will be in heaven. Why?
They've not come to that place where they don't see hope in their self.
Right.
Though they become weary, though they become tired, though they become bitter with God, they still think there's hope in what they do. If the hope was in you, then you wouldn't need Jesus, would you?
No.
Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? But it's not for a lot of people. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because I got some people that I love dearly. Man, I wish I could just get it. You know, Pastor John always used to tell me this. He said, Dale, if I could step in your place, he goes, I would, but I can't. You got to get to Jesus. That's where it's at. There's nothing in yourself. Every single person, brother, in that Bible, Old and New Testament, when they came to the end of themselves, when they became weary of themselves and realized there is no hope in what I'm doing, they got. Guess what happened? They got to Jesus Christ, and guess what? They end up getting saved. Look at the rest of this. Goes on and says this. Thou hast found the life of thine hand. Therefore, thou wast not grieved. You're not grieved on what you're trying to do, because deep inside of you, you still think there's something that you can do to help yourself. But when you came to God in grief, say, Lord, I keep trying to come to you on my terms. Brother, when I finally realized what God was trying to show me that whole entire time, I go, my goodness, why didn't I just look there? Let me just say this, if you're lost in here today. God is not trying to show you something you already know. He's trying to lighten up something you don't know. But yet we don't look there. Well, how simple would it have been for somebody else outside of Dale Moore? Here it is. Because of the greatness of my way, because of everything that I'm doing to try to get to God, because of every work that I'm working to get to God. I don't have to work salvation. I didn't have to work to get to Jesus Christ. He said to believe, and that is it. There's no work involved in believing. It's His word. But yet I tried to work my way to Christ. How? I went to church. I was a good little boy. I read my Bible. I was a good... Hey, those are all good things, aren't they, brother? But I'm going to tell you what. It ain't going to get you to heaven. My mother sits at home. She now lives with me. A woman that I hated with all my... I used to tell my mother how much I hated her guts as a lost man. Because she's an abuser. And she now lives with me in my home. Do you know my mother's going to bust how wide open because she believes baptism saves? Mm-hmm. They're going to wish they had that water in hell. They're going to wish they could feel that water. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Baptism isn't going to save you. Sitting in this church pew isn't going to save you. Praying isn't going to save you. Reading your Bible isn't going to save you. What's going to save you is Jesus Christ. Thou shalt believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt. Is He a liar? He said He'd save you if you believe. But in the weariness of your way, in your own way, you still think there's hope in what you do. You better lose that hope.
Right.
You better lose that hope. You go, man, what's going on? Nothing's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. What's going on is there's going to be more of my friends in hell than there are going to be in heaven, unfortunately. Well, turn with me to Hosea. Minor prophet. Keep turning towards the front of your book, towards the New Testament. After Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, chapter 10. That was only one verse. Ain't that something? I think God's trying to tell some people some things. You know what the problem is, though? Their hearts aren't circumcised, Dan. They don't want to hear what God has to say. There's some fool up here saying, look at this is not the message I intend. These three messages that I have are not the message that I intended for this church. God changed them up. These are not what I intended to come here and preach. I intended to come here and preach some fluffy duffy stuff. Some tiptoe through the tulips type of stuff. But Daniel, God changed it up. This is not what I intended. God has an intention for some people in this room. Whoever it is, better listen. You better let the word of God circumcise your ear. You better let Him circumcise the heart.
Why? Because look, it takes a preparation of the. How many people, honestly, you don't have to raise your hand, but you can raise your hand if you want. How many people prayed that God would show up in this service this morning? Because that's how serious we take it. You know what the Bible says we ought to do, Brother Coots? We ought to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God.
Right.
You mean we're going to just try to step in church with all the world and all of our flesh and everything around us? We're going to try to just step in church, not prepare our hearts whatsoever, and come in here and God's going to speak to us? And if He did speak to us, brother, they're not. You know what? You know why they're not going to hear it? Because there's no preparation. It's not a serious matter to people to come in here and handle that, hear that word of God, Daniel. It's not a serious matter that people come in here and think that word of God is being preached, that the Holy Ghost of God isn't trying to move in these pews and knock on somebody's door. Who takes the Bible serious anymore? They just think it's something man wrote. That God had nothing to do with. But God, if I said, hey, how many of you believe that God spoke this world into existence? Everybody would raise their hand, but yet He can't give us a Bible? I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. I'm sorry, but my God isn't some little box. He's not some little genie. He gave us the perfect word of God, and He speaks to us through that word. Look at it says in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 1. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. And this is what most people are doing. They're bringing fruit unto themselves. They're trying to say, hey, God, look, I'm reading my Bible. Hey, look, I'm doing this. You know what? That's fruit to yourself. God doesn't need you reading the Bible. That's reading the Bible for yourself. And they consider that a good work. On how I can gain favor with God. You ain't going to gain favor with God that way. Especially when your heart is not in it for what God thinks of you. You want Him to look at you for what you think of you. Brother, it finally came to the point after sitting underneath that word of God, I finally see myself in God's eyes. And it was ugly. A worm and no man.
Right.
I could not believe how putrid I was. You think, man, that would have been easy for a convict to see that. That would have been easy for a drug addict and a drunkard to see that. It wasn't easy. Because in my own eyes, brother, I was going to church. I was praying. I was reading my Bible. I must be a good person. How mistaken. And then I turned seeking God into a religion. And I came to the point where almost, Nate, where almost came so bitter at God, I almost hated him. And I would blame Him. Why ain't I saved? Why don't I have that peace that your Bible teaches? Why don't I have that peace that passes all understanding? Why isn't my life changing? Because I was trying it for myself. You see, God, Jesus Christ didn't die so that I can work for myself. You know what? I became an empty vine because I was bringing forth fruit unto myself, not God. And look what it says here. It says, bringing forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of whose fruit? His fruit. He hath increased the altars. You understand that? He's increased his religiousness. He's brought works unto himself. He's increased his altars. Why? He's increasing his religiousness. You know what God thinks of our religiousness? They're filthy rags. He doesn't look at it and go, I'm going to reward you for that. 99.9% of the time, we are doing things for our pleasure, not the pleasure of God. We become caught in this routine. I hate routine. I can't stand routine. You know why? Because when I get in a routine, you know what that means, Nate? That means I'm following myself and not what God wants. I'm not paying attention to His will because I got a routine. I got this thing set. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. And God's standing over there going, hang on a minute, hang on a minute, hang on a minute.
For probably six months now, God has been trying to show me something about my own Bible reading.
But no, I got this, Lord. This has got to happen, Lord, because I got it set in my way. And God goes, I got something to show you if you'll just listen to me and stop. I go, but wait, I got something going on, Lord. You see, I'm battling with God. I'm trying to convince God why it's okay to do things my way. You know how many times I've become an empty vine because I'm trying to do things my way and I'm not even listening to God? What did he say in the... turn over real quick in John chapter 15. Look at Jesus Christ says in John chapter 15 real quick. And then we'll go back and hit Hosea 10. In John chapter 15, look at verses 4. And I like to do what I call Bible exercise. I like to make people turn in their Bible. Number one, it gets you turning. It keeps you awake. Bro, I've never seen more people fall asleep in church in my life than I have in these last days. You come to church and take a nap? Go to bed at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. You know what else is happening? The spirit of slumber takes over. You know what happens, Brother Coons? When people fall asleep, they miss what God has to say to them. Why? Because that spirit of slumber came across them and rocked them to sleep. It's a reality. I've never seen it so much in my life. And I travel around to hundreds of churches. I've been across the country and back. And Daniel, people are just falling asleep all over. The spirit of slumber is just taking over every one of them in them pews. I didn't come to church to fall asleep. If I feel like that I'm tired, you'll see me stand up. I'm not going to fall asleep on what God might have to tell me. You're just taking that too far, okay? Well, we'll see about that one day. John 15, look at 4 and 5. He says, abide in me and I in you. John 15, verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Hosea is talking about that. How Israel has come to try to bear fruit unto himself. Jesus Christ says, you can't bear that fruit without him. You cannot bear that fruit without Jesus Christ. You'll never come to that point. I don't care how long you think you've been saved. You're not going to come to that place where you're going to bear fruit without Christ. The disciples, hey, they were given power. To go out there and cast out devils and heal people. Here comes a man with his son who's possessed with devils, by the way. Demons is not in your Bible. We don't have a Greek mythology book. God used the word devils and not demons. Demons comes from Greek mythology, and yet we want to implement that in our Bible. That's not what God used. Better get that right. I have a conversation with somebody and I can tell exactly where they're getting their stuff from. It's always man, always man. I go, man, when did you stop getting stuff from God? You know how I feel about them books? You burn them. You know why? They're leading our people astray. Jesus Christ, you can't do anything without him. Then why are we turning to everything else? Is there a person in here who does not believe that we need Jesus Christ and him to bear that fruit? Then tell me, why are we turning everywhere else for it? Why? Because America has become lazy in their studies. Brother Coons, brother, you know there's some good men who wrote some good books. Spirit-filled men who did those things that God gave them. Why can't God teach you the same thing?
Right.
Why do you need to go to him and get what you need? Why can't you just let God teach you? I don't know why that keeps coming up, but I'm going to keep saying it. Because I believe it's hurting our country. You go, are you against books? No, I'm against those that go against what God has to say. I'm against those who take that book and replace it with the Bible. That's what I'm against. You can read the book. You can read a commentary if you like. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't have your Bible open, you will be led astray. You better have your Bible open and be reading that. Why? Look, it says you need Jesus Christ. Without him, what fruit are you going to bear? None. Israel became an empty vine. Why? They're trying to do stuff on their own. Well, I know that guy. Hey, I know I made some people real uncomfortable in here today. But you guess who don't care? I'm not gonna go home and have to take two baby aspirin to go to sleep because of what I say.
The very moment that I start changing what I have to say because I'm worried about what some man has to say is the very moment I'll never step in that man's pulpit again.
That's a reality.
God has given me what I need. God has given this to me. It's not something that I think. I'm watching America be decimated, destroyed because they've left the Bible. Decimated. Why? Because we have become that dry vine. Brother Kuntz, thank God for what you're doing here. Thank God that God has given you the ability and blessed you to come to this church. Thank God that he's brought people in here to be able to sit in this church. Thank God. But boy, don't ever leave this Bible. No. We don't need anything else. What time is this over? 45? 15 minutes? Yeah. Everybody can hang out for 15 minutes? All right, let's shift gears. Let's get into some preaching now. No, I'm just kidding. Look what he says in verse 5. We'll finish verse 4. Except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. But over and over again, we're out there trying to do things on our own. We're out there leaving God. We're out there putting hope in our hands. Look at it. Soul winning is a good thing. But when you take soul winning into your own hands, if you're going to go out and soul win, at least have the audacity to fast and pray before you go out and do it. You're going to face devils out there. You're going to face spiritual warfare out there. You mean to tell me you can just go handle that anyway in the flesh? We are in a spiritual battle here. And yet we keep trying to go handle things in the flesh. And to no profit. Do you know how easy it would be, Nate, for me to go up to people and have them make a profession? Do you know how easy I could do that? Oh, I can spin people's head. I can make them make a profession quicker than anybody on this planet can. But what is that going to do for them when they end up in hell? A profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is. A prayer is not how you get to Jesus Christ. By believing in this Bible is how you get to Jesus Christ. Not through a prayer. Not through somebody leading you through a Romans road. Nobody had to lead me through a road. You know why nobody had to lead me through a road? Because the Holy Ghost did a good enough job convicting me. I didn't need a man to do that for me. If a person needs somebody to lead them to conviction, then it's not the Holy Ghost. They're being led by a man and not the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. Your Bible says the Holy Ghost of God is the one that brings conviction, brings to light those things that are hidden, brings to light those things that they need to see. He's the one who flips that light switch that they might see and get saved. So how it's working today? Why? We become them dead vines. It says in Hosea chapter 10. Go back to Hosea real quick. We'll finish that up. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. He says, Israel has become... He says that Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. You see, it's about what he's doing. And God says, that is not me. God is nowhere near what we think that we're doing. We all of a sudden know better than what God does. We all of a sudden know how to build all this plethora of things that we're going to do because we know better than God. Well, let me ask you, how well is it working for us? How well is it working for us, Amy? How well did it work for me and you? Almost sent me and you to hell because some man kept trying to convince us what we were. Could you imagine some man convincing me that I'm saved? Do you know what the Bible tells? The Bible says the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. It's not my spirit bearing witness to my spirit. It's his spirit through this beautiful Bible that witnesses to my spirit that I'm his child. Let me ask you something, Daniel. Your kids don't have to go up to you every day and say, Dad, am I your child? They automatically know that by the Spirit that that's their dad.
Well, as a Christian, I ought to know that too. Because the Spirit of God, not your spirit. If your spirit is witnessing to your spirit and their doubts are coming, you're lost.
You better figure out if you're saved or lost. Because hell is real.
Right.
It's hot and it's for eternity. If your spirit is bearing witness with your spirit and you're doubting, you better get in this Bible and examine what God says. In order for me to be able to see spiritual truth, what am I going to do? Go out there and look at earthly things? That Bible is going to show me exactly what I am. Brother, if I get arrested and I go to jail and my lawyer comes in and I have a charge that they have on me, don't you think that I want my lawyer to go and examine every single piece of evidence until he can't examine it anymore? Then why aren't people doing that with their souls? Why do they just live with the doubts? They let the doubt, and then they just, you know what they do? They blow the doubts off. No, I'm saying because, you know, back in 1984, I said a prayer when I was in kindergarten, but yet they doubt my whole entire life. There's no assurance whatsoever in their life. Once in a while, they'll get a lift, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, and next thing you know, they're doubting again, and they'll get another lift for another 2 or 3 weeks, and they're doubting again. Why? Because the Spirit of God is trying to show them something, but they won't look at it. Thank God, Nate, that I looked at it. Brother, I was going to bust hell wide open when I walked into Black Creek Baptist Church thinking I was a Christian. And the Holy Ghost of God, from a man of God standing up preaching the Word of God. My pastor didn't come there preaching anything else. He preaches the King James Bible only. And brother, when he started preaching that Bible, guess what happened? The Holy Ghost started stirring in me and my wife. I didn't say, oh, I can't stand him. Why is he preaching that? God, doesn't he know that he's making me doubt? That wasn't him making me doubt. That was God showing me that I was lost. Brother, could you imagine? We had preachers come up to us, my friend. We had preachers come up to me and my wife, and they would tell us, it's okay, you're saved. Don't worry about those doubts. My pastor would say, Dale, you get in there and examine that. You get in there and examine that according to that Bible. Do not listen to a man. My pastor kicked a man out of the church. He no longer allowed this man to come in and preach behind our pulpit because he tried telling people that my pastor's a retreader. He's not a retreader. He just preaches the truth. The Holy Ghost does the rest. Most people sitting in churches today have had some man lead them into something, not the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That's a reality.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're that dried vine. We're letting man do it instead of God doing it. We still think there's hope in what we do, Daniel. There's been times I think, well, God called me to the prison ministry. I must be able to go help people. How deceitful. How terrible for me to think that I can go in there and help somebody. No. God in me. The truth that we go in there and preach can help people. It's not because of me. It's not because of what I can do. When I start doing things, I falter and I fail. You know what I realize, Nate? There's no hope in Dale Morey. The hope is in Jesus Christ, not me. The hope is in that Bible. You know what I was doing a study on this morning? The Word of Life. You know who the Word of Life is? Jesus Christ. You know where salvation comes from? The Bible. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. That's how a person is born again. They're born again by the Word of God. God spoke it, and you know what he said? He gave a command. He said, come. He didn't say, hang on, Nate. I want you to do this, 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 and then come. So what he said? He said, come. If you thirst, come. Maybe you're just not thirsty enough. Or maybe you just, maybe you're too afraid to look and examine yourself. Don't you hate sometimes getting up and your hair is all messed up, and you get up and you go, man, I just don't feel like looking in that mirror today. My friend, that's how most people are with that Bible when it starts speaking to them. They don't want to look that they might be lost. You might not be lost. You might be a born-again person, but there's something going on in your life that God doesn't like. It'll show you in that Bible, but let me tell you this. Don't be afraid to look at that. Don't be afraid to look. If you're living a life full of doubts, don't be afraid to get into this Bible, because it's this Bible that's going to show you. It says, according to Hebrews 4:12, it says it knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It knows you better than you. When you're reading this Bible, it's reading you.
Right.
Amen. It's showing you what you are. Otherwise, why do you need this? We'll just put that away. I don't need that no more. That's the most foolish thing. You know when people get mad, you know what the first thing they do? Well, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm going to quit the Bible. How foolish. The one and only thing that can help you, you want to quit.
Well, how do we get out? Well, I got 5 minutes. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. My favorite. Some of my favorite. Saved people, this is for you. Lost people, this is for you. Listen to what God says. Look at, there's no hope in what you do. There's no hope in our religiousness. We've seen that clearly. We cannot do anything without Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus Christ said? Nate, he said, if you lift him up, he'll draw all men to himself. Right. He's drawing you to himself. Understand that. But you have to lift him up, not yourself. Not what you're doing. Lift him up. And when you lift him up, you'll start believing that book the way it says, and you'll be saved. Okay, plain and simple.
It says simplicity is in Christ. Salvation was the easiest thing that ever happened to me. It was getting there. It was the hardest.
Because I kept seeing me. I kept seeing the things that I did to the world. I kept seeing myself as a convict. I kept seeing myself as an inmate. I never seen myself as a sinner. I never seen myself as a rebel against the holy God. I knew I broke man's laws. I understood that perfectly because I went to jail, prison, mental hospitals. But I never seen myself as a lawbreaker against the holy God. And the very moment that I saw that on my knees at home, 90 and a half East Main Street, I knelt down and said, God, I see that I'm a sinner. I see that everything I've ever done has been against you. Everything that I've ever done has been against the word of God. And I'm so sorry for that. I got up a new man in Jesus Christ and never looked back. How many times do you think I've been back to prison since I've been saved? Dad, how many times do you think I went back to jail since I've been saved? How many times do you think I went back to drinking and smoking since I've been saved? Either he gives us a new life, brother, or he doesn't. There's no hot or cold. There's no middle ground with Jesus Christ. He said to spew you out of the mouth. Either be hot or be cold, which one? You can't be in the middle. All right, look, let's close with this. I want you to pay attention. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 8, 2. Look what it says here. And I'll be done. If you're going through something, if you're going through some hard times, some doubts going through, look what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. And he says, thou shalt remember. You see, God wants you to remember some things. God wants you to remember what he's about to put you through. Why does he want us to remember those things, Daniel? So we don't easily go back to it. You see, you got to come to a place where you hate things the way God hates them. And you got to see things the way God sees them. Why? Because then you won't go back to them. Daniel, I hated prison. Why? Because God showed me that that's not a good place for me to be. That meant spend the rest of my life in prison. Smoking, drinking, hatred, bitterness. Let me just tell you, the smoking and all that, that was so easy for God to get rid of. You know what he really was getting at? The hatred that was in my heart. The bitternesses, the depressions that were uncontrollable. God was getting in there and showed me the jealousies and all those things that I had inside of my heart.
He says, thou shalt remember. Look at what he says. And thou shalt remember. All the way which the, who? The, not man. The way the Lord thy God had led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. My friend, God will leave you in the wilderness for as long as it takes. He'll leave you there. He won't leave you, but he will leave you there. Why? Because look it. You know when you're in the wilderness, when you're going through a hard time, you're more apt to hear the word of God. You're more apt to want to hear preaching. You're more apt to want to listen to godly things. You're more apt to want to listen to godly music. You're more apt to want to beg God for help when you're in the wilderness. So why wouldn't God leave you in the wilderness? Brother, 24 hours before I got saved, I was afraid to walk out my front door. Are you there? Are you there? Do you realize the price that you're going to have to pay for your soul? If people understood, anybody here not understand what condemnation means? It means you're condemned to hell. And if you believe this book, you have to believe that there is a hell that you're going to go to without Christ. Now, if a judge said, sir, you're sentenced to death, you're going to go to prison and you're going to fight with everything that you can to get out of that death sentence. Why aren't people doing that with their soul?
Right.
Because they don't believe in hell.
Yeah.
There's no fear of hell. There's no fear of the condemnation. If you really understood that you're condemned to hell when you die without Christ, that would drive you to Jesus Christ alone. But the problem is people don't fear hell. They don't fear God. They don't fear that he's going to throw them in there. They think they're going to be okay with what they're doing. Could you imagine if you really understood the condemnation? Could you imagine if a sinner really understood the condemnation that they're going to face before a holy God? You know what the sad thing is today? We have to understand their condemnation for them. And it needs to break our hearts. When's the last time God kept you awake all night long because of the condemnation of somebody's soul? Or are you not even worried about that anymore?
We didn't even cry for lost. I cry for you, Nate. I cry for you, and I cry for your son. Why? Because I care about the condemnation of your soul.
I care! How about you, Christian? Was the last time you cared enough to shed some tears and fast for some people so they don't have to go to hell? That's what the old timers used to do. Hey, whoever reads books in here on them old timers and commentaries, those men used to fast and pray for people's soul. Because they cared. They cared.
Don't we care anymore? Well, anyway, look, I'm going to get through this and I'm done right here. And thou shalt remember the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why did he do that? To humble thee. And to prove thee, God needs to try where you are. And it goes on and says, and to know what is in thine heart. You mean to tell me God needs to know what's in your heart? No, he's trying to show you what's in your heart. God already knows what's in your heart. But he's got to bring you to the wilderness to show you that.
He's got to bring you to a place of desolation. A place of, when you're out there by yourself. Here's a saying that I used to tell Pastor John all the time. I say, Pastor, I can be in a room full of people and be the loneliest person in that room. God needs to bring you to that place. God needs to bring you to a place where you're in a room full of people, yet you're the loneliest person ever. Why? Because you and God are trying to deal with each other. You ain't there yet. You ain't there yet, lost person. And he says, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. In verse 3, and he said, and he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. And look at this, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Why is God bringing you to the wilderness? To show you that you're going to live through here. The King James Bible. This is where life is. The life of Jesus Christ. This is where salvation is. And he's going to bring you to the wilderness to show you exactly what that is. Through this. How do we stay alive physically? We eat. How are you ever going to stay alive spiritually if you won't get into your Bible?
Right.
Amen. My goodness, we forsake any kind of Bible. We take a little 15-minute devotion, go, okay, God, now the rest of the day I got to go give to the world. And we think we're going to be okay? My pastor used to tell me this. Dale, you're never going to find time to study and read your Bible. You have to make time. Go ahead and give up your TV shows for a little bit. Go ahead and shut everything down and go get alone with God. Go spend an hour with God. He took your eternity in hell. You can't give him an hour a day. You can't give him 2 hours a day. Oh, man. What a sad bunch of Christians that wonder why this world's dying and going to hell. Because we just can't give God time. Anybody in here say, today, woke up and go, man, I can't believe I got to go to church. Well, I'll say this in closing. Brother, when I got saved, church no longer was something that I did.
Amen.
It became who I am. Do you think I woke up this morning having to drive an hour and a half and go, darn, I can't believe I gotta go to church? I'm excited about coming to church. Why? Because this is where we meet with God. This is where God can move across the pews and help us. This is where we can be with God's people. This is where we can be where somebody just might get saved. I'm still excited about coming to church, brother. I never lost that. Why? Because God lives inside of me. And I want to be pleasing to Him. How about you? Sinner, you know where you stand with God. You better get it right. I'm done.